When award-winning journalist Jerome Sokolowski was named as editor-in-chief at Religion News Service in late 2015, he agreed to be on our show before he had even been assigned an office telephone extension number. We've been very fortunate to have Jerome with us again since then, of course, but I doubt that any of those conversations were as important as the one that we're about to have right now. And the reason for that is a concerted effort on the part of a number of our leaders to undermine news reporting and the press, coupled with a seemingly endless supply of fake news distributed via social media, leaves us and countless Americans not knowing whom to trust. Religion News Service has been providing invaluable nonpartisan, nonsectarian coverage of religion news since 1934. And I am delighted to welcome back to State of Belief Radio Editor-in-Chief Jerome Sokolowski. Jerome, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you again, Wilton, and Happy New Year.
Same to you. You must be watching this undermining of news in this country with particular chagrin. As the head of a major news service, talk about what that feels like.
You know, I've always believed in being straight with our audiences, with our readers. They are the people that we serve. And I think that our credibility rides on how well we report the news that they're interested in. I have seen an upsurge or more interest in what we do since this whole discussion about fake news started. I think a lot of people are coming to value and appreciate what solid journalistic organizations, and I'd like to include our own among them, what we do.
Do you think that this whole discussion of fake news is being overblown?
I think it's very serious. I don't think it's overblown. I recall reading a historical book about the rise of the Third Reich and remembering how the role of this new, very new technology at the time called radio played a role in people not being able to understand Adolf Hitler's rhetoric and kind of be able to distinguish between truth and rhetorical devices or propaganda. And I almost think that we're in a time like that again, where we have a new kind of medium, which is the internet and social media. And we have to educate ourselves in how to figure out what's true and what's not, how to know what's credible. And just because something is on a website and looks like a news story doesn't mean it is a news story.
How are you and your colleagues responding to this whole trend of delegitimization of news organizations?
I mean, we do what we've always done. We look for stories that we find interesting that say something about religion in America and in the world today, and we report on it in a straight and hard-hitting way. I don't think we need to change anything in the way we report our stories because of this. Again, I think the fake news discussion is a good one to have because people no longer take for granted that there are reporters and news outlets out there trying to cover things honestly and sincerely.
Mm-hmm. I wish you would talk a minute or so about how news consumers can insulate themselves from inaccurate or biased news reporting.
I think it takes a little more work these days, and you have to do a little bit of research. There's certainly the news outlets that are more reliable, New York Times, Washington Post, The Economist. There are many out there that can be trusted, that we all make mistakes. There's no one's claiming that reporting is perfect, but there's, you know, a little bit of research to be done and cross-checking. I would read stories, the same story in different outlets. I think most people who read what's sometimes derogatorily described as mainstream media will be getting as straight as possible a version of you know, the news item they're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Jerome, let's look back at 2016. What, in your mind, were the most significant stories that Religion News Service covered?
Well, I think the most significant collection of stories were the ones related to the presidential election. I imagine that many of us were quite surprised that so many white evangelical Christians voted for Donald Trump, a man who seems to have a view of sex and gender relations that comes out of the movie Animal House, who doesn't seem to live according to evangelical values or Christian values, and certainly has not in the past, and that those were not obstacles to him being elected. Mm-hmm. The exit polls had the figure of 81% of white evangelical Christians voting for Donald Trump. To me, that's the biggest story of the year. Other stories I found to be interesting this year are, on the one hand, there were efforts to reconcile Protestant Christianity and Catholicism after, on the 500th anniversary, the beginning of the 500th anniversary year of the Reformation. The Pope went to Sweden to a Lutheran nation to kick off that year. At the same time, if you look at, there's another sectarian conflict that's causing a lot of problems in the world today. I think we've underestimated it in the past for sure, but the division between Shiite Muslims and Sunni Muslims, which seems to have overtaken the conflicts in the Middle East and is even exporting one of the root causes of the exporting violence to Europe. We saw some terrible, terrible terrorist attacks there by people claiming to act out of religious faith. And other stories, we lost some people who either were influenced by religion or had interesting religious views. The Supreme Court Justice, Antonin Scalia, Phyllis Schlafly, even Leonard Cohen, the musician, who had a lot of religious themes in his music.
Were there a story or a theme that, looking back, you wish had been given more attention or coverage both in Religion News Service and in the mainstream media as well?
Oh, I'll tell you one thing, that it's not actually a news story, because you wouldn't have news developments happening, but it's more of a feature story that I don't see enough. And I've certainly, toward the end of last year, I started encouraging my reporters to look more at this, was the immigrant communities that we have in the U.S., how their faith, they may be Christians or, you know, be part of the same religion as most of us here, but worship or practice in a very different way. So one thing we did at the end of last year was I had one of my reporters look at how different immigrant communities celebrate Christmas. Mm. And so we had a look at two communities. One is Nigerian Christians and the other was Brazilian Christians. And I thought it was a nice look, and it was a very different, obviously Christmas in Nigeria and Brazil are very different from Christmas in the U.S. I love the part about that normally Brazilians go to the beach on Christmas. And my reporter found a community that was going skiing on Christmas Day.
What do you expect the most important stories to be in 2017?
Well, I think one of the most important stories will be, and again, probably no surprise, the Trump administration, how it deals with religious minorities, and in particular Muslims. I think it will also be very interesting, and something I think we can uniquely focus on, is the religious views of Donald Trump and his cabinet members, and how that informs the way they attempt to govern this nation. Mm-hmm. I think another interesting thing to look at will be how evangelicals reconcile after such a divisive election. In particular, I'm curious about the Southern Baptists after someone like Russell Moore, the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, mm-hmm. was so outspoken in his opposition to Donald Trump. And it appears, at least from the exit polls, that many Southern Baptists disagreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see how that plays out in the year ahead.
Are you curious about how many in the evangelical community who endorsed totally the Trump campaign and Trump as the candidate to vote for, what's going to happen to them when they see what's going to be inevitably decisions and involvements that, at least in the past, would have been considered out of bounds for a morally responsible leader?
The unknown factor really is Donald Trump and how he will. I mean, I have no idea how he's going to govern. It's hard to tell from all his tweets what he plans to do. I have a better sense of what Vice President Mike Pence wants. Yeah. And I think he will be a very influential person in this White House. I think we will see a lot of conservative issues being brought to the fore. And, you know, to the extent that Donald Trump may end up being liberal economically or have some policies that liberals might agree with economically, I don't think we'll see too much of that in terms of social values. So one of my first questions right after the election to people like Ralph Reed of the Faith and Freedom Forum and others was, how can you count on a man who seems to have been on both sides of almost every issue to deliver what you want him to deliver? And certainly with the record that he has. But they seemed confident, and he has been giving them cabinet picks to their liking, for the most part, at least.
Yeah.
Drumpf, you've been in this position of leadership now for well over a year. What's been the biggest surprise for you since becoming editor-in-chief at RNS?
I've been running this organization for 1/80th of its history. So it has a venerable history, and there have been a few things. For me personally, I thought I would miss not having my own byline out. I imagine your listeners listen to public radio also. I've been on NPR and sure. Voice of America, and before that worked for the Associated Press. I don't miss not writing my own stories. It's a real challenge and a lot of fun to work with other reporters and getting them to write the best story that they can. One of the pleasant surprises, it's always nice to hear how many people know of RNS or have heard about it and really find what we do to be fascinating and something that you don't find elsewhere in the whole media landscape. And I think it's wonderful, Welton, that you're interested. And I know you've been involved in interfaith work and religious freedom work for a long time. And I think it's great that you're doing what you're doing and that can highlight what we do as well.
Well, thank you. Jerome Sokolowski is a veteran religions journalist and broadcaster who serves as editor-in-chief at Religion News Service. And you should visit religionnews.com on a regular basis. Jerome, thanks so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio. I'm sure we're going to be in touch during this very interesting year.
Thank you very much, Welton, and all the best for a happy and prosperous 2017.